Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
I hope we're saying that. After Sunday. Feels great, baby!
Guess who's doing the game Sunday? Ooh. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman,
right.
Aaron Andrews will be on the sidelines.
Feels great, baby.
How did it feel, Jimmy? Well, it effing hurts when I throw. That's how it feels.
Yeah, and we'll see about him. And obviously there's a chance that he could get out there and play. I've had that same injury. It's a four-month injury. There's no question.
Wow.
In order for that thing to... Now, I didn't have the bone stimulator and all the stuff that these guys are using. I know you like the bone stimulator.
I do love it. I could use that myself.
You gave me that look.
The one who always does it, too. I didn't even say
it. You have it in the bag with you?
But,
I was being mature.
So it definitely, mine was definitely 4 months. It wasn't to a thumb on my throwing hand. And we know everything sticks out like a sore thumb. So, ba-doom, boom. He did throw it yesterday. Was limited in practice. We'll see what happens. And I think it, you know, depends on... Obviously, he's got a little thumb brace on, and I know he'll want to go listening to him in the press conference and talk to those guys that, you know, he knows what's on the line. And this is really – and he's still got a chance if New Orleans loses, and we know that. But this is the must-win. This is – playoffs really started for this team a while ago, but in particular last week in the dismantling of the Houston Texans where defense just absolutely played their asses off. I mean, one drive, and that was after the interception, and we can go through all the Trey stuff, but markedly better from the Week 5 matchup at Arizona that they lost 17-10. So a little bit of impatience here and there, but man, good things happen when that guy is on the field, and he made some really, really good throws at key moments. But back to Jimmy. So I think there's a chance. It's, you know, depends on how he feels today after throwing yesterday, how he throws in practice today. We'll see how they divide up the reps between he and Trey. Jimmy has had tremendous success, as you guys know, against the Rams. And I think the whole key is kind of what the 49ers did in the second half, able to convert, able to hang on to the ball, able to stay with the run commitment. That's how you beat the LA Rams.
Let me ask you about your injury. And I know it's obviously you play a different position, so he's got different demands on the hand. But he said yesterday, obviously, when you throw it, effing hurts. And he talked about the webbing of it and all those kind of things. So what is this injury like?
Well, from what I understand, it's an emulsion fracture, which is a ligament that is torn a little chip of the bone off when it detached. That's why the word fracture comes in, because there's a little chip of the bone that's still attached to the ligament that was attaching the joint. So, you know, there's two ways that you can fix it, go in and repair it and re-tack it down, or you can let Mother Nature do the healing over time, because it lays in a spot where it's kind of like the old MCL used to be. Like, they don't even do surgery on it. Just let it lay there. It'll lay up against the bone. It lays flat on the bone. It will eventually reattach, but time is of the essence. So he's been hitting the bone stimulator, trying to get that thing to grow back tight. I'm sure he'll still be behind schedule if, in fact, he does get out there and try to play. But it's significant because it's real. It's pain. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know, and I'm sure a lot of guys have dislocated a finger, torn a ligament, finger, or thumb. The thumb's worse than anything, especially with a quarterback, because that's your grip. That's the whole deal. That in the middle finger, and we saw that affected Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks. But swelling is tremendous. And I know, because I remember the doctor told me, I said, what if I don't have surgery? He said 4 months. And it was about 4 months before I could get, it was on my ring finger, before I could get my ring back on my finger. And I can activate it still anytime just by pressing in a certain area. So probably should have had it repaired. And Jimmy probably, depending on what happens, will have his repaired in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he's looking at surgery once we're done, but that could be middle February. So
Kyle,
Kyle did tell me that at halftime of the game in Nashville, he took medicine, is the way they say it. So with something like this,
pain tolerance,
can you shoot it? Can you do something to numb the pain? It's a quarterback, though. How much do you have to feel? Because he took that shot at halftime, obviously, right, in Nashville. And then you could almost see the thumb come off the ball on the Amani Hooker interception when he tried to get it over to Debo. Over
he
the
threw
middle.
It high in the hook to the hooker.
That was not good. Well, I have a joke there, but I'll let it go.
I tried
I'll
to set you
up. That's not often.
The happy hooker.
See how I tried to set him up?
It was the happy hooker.
See how I tried to set him up?
So anyway, don't help me around.
All right. All right.
So anyway, can you do that for a game like, is he saying, how does it feel? It effing hurts. So if we take the hurt out of it, can he execute throws with that thumb? Do you have to feel the thumb? If it's just a pain tolerance thing and he's going to need surgery anyway, is there a line of thinking that if we shoot it maybe before the game or watch the game, shoot it at halftime, play him in the second half? Is that an option?
There's no question that's an option. And there's guys playing with a lot of things now. And those options are available, and a lot of guys use those options and get out there and still play, as he did in the second half of that game at Tennessee. So, yeah, that's an option. I think it comes down to Dr. McAdams and how they really feel about, you know, the attachment, if you will, of that ligament on the bone and growing back. I'm sure they'll do more pictures to see what's healed up in 2 weeks. So yeah, that's an option. There's no doubt that's an option. Now I wouldn't think it would be an injection that like numbs your whole hand and then what, right? You can't really feel anything. So I would think more probably something orally, something just to take the edge off the pain, that he can still feel it, but it's not diabolical in terms of every time he grips the ball or tries to take a snap.
All right, so when you look at this thing, everybody's trying to throw out this, if Jimmy's 80 versus Trey 100, that kind of a scenario. But as you look at this thing, how do you see this, whether it be Trey or Jimmy?
I think whoever it is, 49ers got to do what they do, which is the formula dominating the line of scrimmage and really outlasting the LA Rams. And fortunately, and I don't want to get him upset, so I'll call him Mr. Donald. They've been able to somewhat contain him over the last five games because they've been able to stop his splitter. And he has not taken over a 49er game in a while. And that's a testament to the play calling, to the blocking, to the execution. And I think whoever it is at quarterback, you want to get the Rams to where you've had them, where they don't really want to defend blocks anymore in the fourth quarter. Convert third down and be able to stay committed to the run game. And it was great getting Eli back, Elijah Mitchell, last week. And remember, I think it was week 10, he had 27 carries, not even 100 yards, but they stayed committed to the run game. And that's going to slow the rush down. And the more that you can run it and keep pounding it and wearing those guys down, and then get after these middle linebackers now. Troy Reader, and then they got the other kid in there now that is a young player. He's been around for a little while, but he's 211 pounds. Their other inside linebackers, so they can get on the linebackers with the play action stuff. I do believe that there's going to be opportunities to get it down the field. I think opposite of Jalen Ramsey, who's having a very, very good year. And it's Traven Howard is the other inside linebacker there next to Troy Reader as I'm, I look at my little flip. But got to get past that front line, Johnny, of 5 and 6 men at the line of scrimmage, because they're going to crowd the holy hell out of the line of scrimmage. They're going to try to get TFLs. They're going to try to get the 49ers behind the chains. And when this team, like most teams, you get a big negative play, a penalty, a hold, a sack, it's hard to recover in that drive. If you go look at stats around the league, when an offense gets sacked on a drive, like the stats of scoring a touchdown are like down to close to 0%. I mean, those are such big plays, those negative plays. So they do all they can to force them. But I do think once they get past that first line, and whether it's Eli, whether it's Debo out of the Deadpool, running the football, and we'll see about Jeff Wilson other than a lead blocker, see if he's going to get any opportunities to run the rock. If they can get on those safeties, and Fuller's a good player, and Taylor Rapp, they show up, but they also miss tackles, and they don't really want to hit those running backs that are trying to step on their toes when they get into the secondary. So I think whoever the quarterback is, that's going to be the MO. And then defensively, I think we all got our fingers crossed that they can get the guys back out of the COVID protocol. Because if they don't, it could be a very long day against an electric passing attack.
It's getting better. I mean, Matthew Stafford is wildly inconsistent, but when he locks in, nobody can throw the ball better. But he throws the ball to the other team.
How about this? 27, and Babs did this, Babcock. 27 for me, pick sixes in his career. 27.
How many this year? Four.
Four this year, and there's been one other time. And it probably should be six or seven if you go look at the games.
Threw one in Baltimore that was like, what are you doing?
Threw one in Tennessee that went down to the one-yard line.
Yeah, right, from the goal line.
Right.
And then he threw it literally one right after that. But he is remarkably skilled. He can throw one. He's like a great jump shooter. He can go 5 for 24.
And he's going to keep throwing.
Three quarters and then hit the game-winning shot.
Right.
So now the COVID situation is what it is. And we're hopeful that they're asymptomatic, they can come back. But it's not like Mitch Wischnowski, and I love Mitch and a punter, but what do you punt, two or three times a game?
Right.
You're Kaywan Williams, you're out there for 75 snaps, or Jimmy Ward, cardio, you know, what are they feeling? Not being on the practice field, Tim. I mean, yeah, they played a lot of football together, but the reason they go practice is for a reason.
Right.
You can't blow a coverage, you can't lose strength and miss a tackle. The quarterback, I think they'll figure that out. I'm more concerned about corner back and the overall secondary. What are your thoughts on the COVID operation?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and that's my biggest fear and a lot of trepidation thinking about, you know, look, hopefully E-Man is back, and they're getting him in. His window's open, back from the injured reserve, so we'll see if he can play. I'm sure the ankle will be a challenge for him, and you've talked about this as a defensive back because you're reacting, you're pedaling, you're planning, you're turning, and you don't know what's going to happen until the guy's coming at you and you're trying to match his route. So hopefully he can get back out there and get back in the mix, because he's the 49ers' best corner, and it'd be a big shot in the arm to have E-Man back and close to healthy. Josh Norman, I would think right now, would be on the other side. He was out there at practice yesterday. And then Tavon Wilson's window has opened up, so he was out at practice yesterday. Ufunga is coming back, I think. He was out at practice yesterday. So I think my biggest hope is
What do you do in the nickel? If you don't have Jimmy, you don't have Kaywan, you don't have Dante. And you don't have D'Amador.
Well, probably Darquez Dennard, who they just brought in, who's played a lot in pro football. I mean, there's hopefully still an option. But that's when you talk about getting hit at one position in the secondary, like they've been hit in this game versus this passing attack, let's just keep our fingers crossed that they are asymptomatic and they can get back in the protocol within 5 days. But they will have to pass a cardio stress test also. So that's one thing they have to do when they're in the protocol. They get them on the cardio, and they have to pass a cardio stress test if they have not been out there. Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. So look, in order to win this game and control their own destiny and not have to hope that Atlanta beats New Orleans, they're going to have to get the two lids to put on the cup, which is KK and Jimmy Ward. Those two guys are the absolute key cover guys on Cooper Kupp. I came up with a little line this morning. Hold on.
Is that driving here? The two lids to put
fill
on the cup.
To the rim.
It's a race to use that line on Sunday.
Fill it to the rim with Jim. Jim Ward.
I like the two lids to put on the cup.
Two lids to put on the cup. Can you double lid that for me, please? Can you put a little double lid on that for me, please?
Believe my Sunday at 1:30, it's going to be my line.
Oh.
Kind of like the demon roller coaster at Great America.
I was going to say, you shouldn't have broke that out, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. I use his stuff all the time, too.
We share.
Yeah, there you go.
We share.
Detonate.
All right, get more into it. Obviously, the defensive back situation, how you slow down the Rams. We will look at the situation and, of course, more on Trey Lance and the differences, as you pointed out, between seeing him in Arizona and seeing him last Sunday against the Texans. Do all of it next, live at Levi's Stadium. Tim Ryan hanging out with us only here.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
On the Sports Leader.
Third down and six. Brandon Ayuk goes in long motion. Tevier Thomas, their terrific nickel corner, picks him up in man. Trey back. Time. Throws. Caught! Ayuk again breaks a tackle, 40, 45 midfield. Ayuk into Houston territory inside the 35-yard line. What a catch and run by Brandon Ayuk on a bullet slant there from Trey Lance on third down. Breaking tackles. He races all the way for 42 yards.
It's a nice call. Very nice.
The hell did I do? It was straight. Nice I think that was the throw. And the deep one to Debo, we'll talk
Dart.
About that. But that throw there was next level talent.
Yeah, and that's what I love about that is that's the staple of the Kyle Shanahan offense. Because and how much do we throw those in cuts over the middle of the field?
To Debo over and over and over again.
Always.
And Ayuk's
or
getting
Kittle.
Better at it.
And
yeah.
Ayuk is getting much better at it. And look, everyone wants to put the extra guy in the box. And Levy did it most of the game. If Levy Smith didn't, it would have been a 200-yard rush day. Because when anytime the safeties were deep, there was run lanes all over the place because the 49ers win up front most of the time. Although that Roy Lopez is pretty good for Houston, that rookie defensive tackle. But that's the staple throw because everyone puts the safety in the box. So they're either man or cover three behind it. That is to the weak hook, three beater on an in cut. And what I loved about it is, again, that's the staple. That's the banked play that the 49 that Trey can do, that Jimmy can do. That's a big part of the offense in beating cover three. What I loved about it is Ayuk's yak ability is lethal and probably doesn't get enough credit for it because of the way the first half of the season started, but he was the best player in college football a few years ago at yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. Tremendous wingspan, tremendous physicality, and tremendous juice when he gets in the open field. And I think it was Reed that tried to chop his thigh down and he spun out of that. So you take a 10-yard throw and turn it into a 43-yard play. Juwan Jennings is blocking his ass off, by the way. I mean, he's down there on that play putting – I'm glad you mentioned Tavier Thomas because he put him on his back on that play at the end. Juwan Jennings has really made some big, big blocks and big plays for this team. And the third down catch that he had when he was going backwards, had to scoop it down off the ground, was a big catch. His blocking is tremendous. Ayuk's blocking is tremendous, although he didn't need to hold down on the goal line, and it was a hold on the Trey Lance power play. So it's look, I see this receiving core and now when you look at, you know, what Debo is and, you know, that post corner over route that he ran, he's got so much moxie to him and so much willpower and juice when he gets the ball in his hand that guys are just going to drip off of him. He knows when to put his foot on the gas pedal. Now it's time to get Kittle back in the mix. And whoever's at quarterback, if in fact, and I think George had two targets in the game. One catch, the great one-hander down the middle, and then the interception, which was, you know, bad location, probably a little bit late in terms of the ball. It was a good job, and it was a cover two beater. And Kittle started out at tight end and kind of blocked down, and then went out and got down outside the numbers. So if he could have lofted it maybe a little early and maybe to the outside shoulder, that's an easy catch, but had Debo wide open on a vertical route on the other side. So there was a couple things that he missed, but a lot of double coverage on Kittle, a lot. And if that's going to continue to happen, then Ayuk's got to stand up and continue to do his thing. Debo's going to get his opportunities, more throwing opportunities to the running backs because you're occupying another linebacker and a safety because everyone seems to want – they're not going to let Kittle beat him. And they're either choking him at the line of scrimmage with a guy head up on him, rerouting him, which is going to slow down the tempo. Or when he's split out, they'll cover him with a two safeties or a safety and a linebacker. There's always looks like some form of zone bracket coverage on George Kittle. So whoever's at quarterback, they got to figure out how to get him dialed up and get him, you know, just throw it to him short. Give him some run after the catch opportunities. But I guess the moral of the story is I feel like this receiver core, and it's – for Debo, it's been all year. For Kittle, he was hurt early. But since those three, that the three Musketeers have gotten back together and have stayed for the mostly healthy, they are a lethal combination of three. And so we'll see what happens, who's going to be delivering the mail to them. But I just love the trending that this offense, where they're going in terms of the wide receiver capabilities.
And I know we need to get into the Rams, but the biggest thing just overall with Trey that I was encouraged by for now and in the future is from that Arizona game in week 5 with the 16 runs, and I, you know, whoever called what and whatever, he went on his own. But now last week against the Texans, that was Kyle Shanahan's offense. He was running the pass game of Kyle Shanahan versus that Cardinals game. You could tell Kyle just didn't believe that he was ready to run the full breadth of his offense. And maybe he's not now, too. Maybe it's 80%, 90%. But it was a passing offense, and it was a Kyle Shanahan offense.
Correct. And that's what I just said in terms of some of those staple plays. Another thing that I love about his game is it's fun to watch. It's exciting. He defies X's and O's. And you know how I look at a game, Pop. I'm always got my binoculars on. I'm looking at the box, watching the rush. First, I'll look at formation, down and distance, coverages, blitz coming or not. And then I always, every play, I'll count to myself 1,001, right at the snap, 1,001, 1,002. And I'm seeing if that rush is going to get home. If that rush isn't home by 2.5, I'm shooting my eyes down the field to see where the coverage is and where they can throw it. Then I find myself, when Jimmy's out there, going back to the box, going, oh, man, are they going to get? When Trey's out there, it's like 1,001, 1,000. Now I'm looking at the coverage because I'm not worried about him getting sacked. If someone doesn't win quick, his escapability, and sometimes because he's young, he's out there a little too quick. He gets out the – he may take the wrong escape hatch to get out because he goes too quick. But his playmaking ability and to being able to defy those X's and O's and extend plays, the first one he had was spectacular to Ayuk when they were backed up on the four-yard line. And if you watch that play, he got flushed and wanted to go left. Now they shut that hatch. He stepped up, slid out to the right, and Ayuk was running a crossing route from his right. As soon as Trey popped out and the scramble was on, Ayuk put his foot in the ground, bam, became an option for him on the scramble drill, which was a big play on a third down, I think. Same thing with Hasty down on the goal line. On the third and four. Eyes down the field.
Yeah.
No panic, a lot of poise, and being able to deliver to those guys in big moments. So, man, I was really encouraged watching him play.
Yeah, I thought that third and four to Hasty, we didn't talk because they came right and they scored after that. But I thought that was one of the big plays of the game and the real evolution of this quarterback. But you were talking about, and the numbers show, when you have George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk up and running, and Garoppolo, this is the highest, most efficient offense in pro football.
And Juice.
Juice is there. He's the staple. The other guys have been in and out. But the scramble drill, to me, and it was better in Arizona than it was the second half against Seattle when he got thrown into the game blind.
Right.
It's like they never ran a scramble drill. The guys didn't know where to go. So Trey is going to get out of it. He's going to hold the ball longer. Some of it is he also runs away from early pass rush. He did that a lot in the game over the right guard, right tackle.
Right.
And the play with Ayuk, you're exactly right. Ayuk went immediately into scramble drill mode, which they were not doing when he played in the second half against Seattle October 3rd. It was better against Arizona on October the 10th, but it was much better in this game.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's where the things are going to have to change going into the future when Trey does become the guy. But to me, he showed a lot of promise. The fans should be very excited about him. Great kid. I mean, really a good person. So... and he's gotten just better and better, and you've seen it in practice, and I just love the way it translated to the game. So we'll see what happens. It'll be a big spot in L.A. on Sunday with everything on the line to go down there on the road. You know the place is going to be cranked up, and if he is the guy to go out there and do his thing. But I will have high expectations if he's going to be the guy under center.
Yeah, I think, and this is no disrespect to C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins. They won games here, but not at a high enough percentage. The bottom line is now with this talent, and the way they scheme it and where he's at now in his development, we're late in the year, you can win with this guy. So if he has to play, he can win. He proved that.
No doubt.
Jimmy can win. But the big difference to me is third down. It took Trey a little while to hit on third down, and even on fourth down, they were not there. Were they 2-for-7 on third and then 0-for-2 on fourth? They started to get it a little bit later in the game. And that's where, you know, Babb sent us all the numbers. We love Chris Babcock, whether he's working with us or not. He informs us.
Great kid.
So we know the recipe. Kid.
Well, that's what he says about everybody else.
Is he older than me or not?
That's what he says about everybody else. So I
kid.
Figure I'd throw it right back at him.
Great kid.
I like that look.
I think his kid's a great kid.
Great kid.
I don't know about him.
He seems to know somebody on every roster has a history somewhere
in the Bay Area. He
with Babcock.
Everybody.
Great kid.
I think his grandkids are great kids. But anyway, the formula we know. You get 40-plus rushes, keep the ball for 40 minutes. Maybe it's a little bit less. But to do that, you've got to convert on third down.
That's
I think
the key.
Big difference in this game, Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm not saying Trey can't do it on third down. He can do it with his legs. It's all there. But I think we all feel, you know, Trey's got the deep ball, certainly, but the short to intermediate, the layups, as you call them, If you're going to beat this team, you got to keep Stafford on there and those, all those weapons watching the game.
Yep.
You have got to convert on third down. Jimmy converts on third down. Trey is learning to do it.
Right, and did get better in the second half. I think 4 of 8 in the second half. Started 1 for 5. The fourth down plays, the flip 90 was a great play by their defensive end. Probably not a good play call. They had it stacked up pretty good.
The pitch to Elijah Mitchell.
Yes. The 4th and 1, he should have just unloaded it to Kittle right away. It was there. Got a little impatient and tried to find. I still don't know if it was after watching the tape, if he was throwing to Debo or Ayuk. It was, they were both in the same spot. But yeah. I agree with you because third down allows this offense to continue to get more looks at the defense, continue to wear them down, continue to hang on to the football. And they don't give up a lot of big plays the way they play defense. Now, they'll challenge you, and they'll get after you, but they do not let a lot of things get behind them. So, to me, it's about running the offense, and as you said, run it, third down, Jimmy, be patient, and then rack some yak. Get some yards after the catch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you can do on the back end of this defense, those linebackers and defensive backs, other than Ramsey, who will tattoo you anytime he gets a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. Tim Ryan's hanging out with us. It is the Tim Ryan Power Hour as we do it every Thursday here at Levi's Stadium. We'll take a full-time look at the Rams, obviously what's going on in the defensive backfield and why the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan have been so dominant, 5-0 in the last 5. We're going to do it next only here on the Esports Leader. Tim Ryan Power Hour, Papa Lund.
Probably didn't recruit him.
You're probably going to get that quarterback from Oklahoma, Caleb Williams.
Come on, Caleb.
It's like the Wild West out there, man. Everybody's like, oh, I got a free year?
College football will be better with the USC Trojans climbing to the top of the mountain.
Yeah. We miss them, don't we?
Yeah. West Coast football.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the plane watching those semifinals, watching Harbs getting... getting beat up.
Is that your boy, Harbs?
Yeah, Harbs.
He wore khaki pants today, you see? See his pants he's got on?
Come on, man.
Harbs never wore Lululemons. He wore, like, Dockers.
Boy, Tim knows
he wore
too.
Dockers.
I run out to get him.
$6.
He goes,
$6 Dockers.
Yeah, his are different. I run out to get him. He goes, those Lululemons? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah.
They don't just make leggings, John.
Right. So what are you hearing? He's coming back in the league?
Ooh.
Vegas?
I heard he's been
Chicago
trying to get back
Bears?
I've heard he's been trying to get back in the league for a long time. Vegas would be a great spot for him.
Man.
Just in terms, I know that, you know, that kind of respawned, if you will, his NFL or started his NFL coaching career after USD, so or maybe it was before. But either way, he's got
it was before 2002.
Yeah, he's got a, you know, they got a lot of respect for Jim and he does for the Raiders as well. So if it's all ball all the time, I think he's in, no matter where it is. But I do have talked to quite a few people that he's been trying to get back in for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done a hell of a job at Michigan, especially this year, winning the big games. Came up short in that last one, but he's been trying to get back in the league for a while.
Came up short?
Just a little.
I guess
just
we don't have the athletes.
We missed it by that
Where
much.
Where can we go? Man, that was a rough one. Both those semis are rough. But yeah, Georgia, Alabama.
Okay, Monday's going to be great.
Yeah, this is going to be really good. All right, looking ahead to this one, we talked about the quarterback situation quite a bit. We talked about Stafford a lot. But what the Rams have been doing over this 5-game winning streak is they probably looked at the 49ers and they said, hey, maybe we want to run it a little bit more. And so against the 49ers, they didn't do it. Against Tennessee, they didn't do it. Against the Packers, they didn't do it. But then against Jacksonville, they started. But they have taken, and not that they haven't thrown the ball a cup or thrown the ball a bunch, but they have taken a page out of the 49ers and are actually running the ball more.
Well, I think ideally, and you know McVay, when were they great when Gurley was the staple of the offense? He built that whole offense around Todd Gurley and wore him out with the run game, like literally. And I don't think, you know, Gurley's done much since for health reasons. So McVay wants to run it. You know, he comes from the same tree as Kyle, and they understand what running the ball does and how it sets up all the play action. They ran it actually pretty well week 10, could only run it 10 times, though, because of the early takeaways. That score was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Jimmy had the pick, great drive, and then Jimmy had the pick six, which was just a tremendous play by him. But, look, they've lost their running back, Henderson, and he's on IR. Sony Michel has played pretty good. I'll give him credit. He's responded and bounced back a little bit over the last 6 or 7 games, and he's well over 800 yards. People don't realize that. He's got a chance now, and I don't think it'll happen this week, but he'll come up just short, I would think, of 1,000 yards. And now the wild card is Cam Akers, and does he play? Word is that he was in warm-ups looking like he was ready to go at Baltimore and had no issues. Now, he's got an Achilles tear from August. which would be remarkable when you think of that recovery from that injury. So I don't know how much to expect out of him or what to expect out of him. Their offensive line's pretty good when you look at him man for man. But again, I think that and Sony, I think, had 130 at Minnesota a couple weeks ago. So they want to run the ball. They want to take pressure, just like everybody, off of their quarterback, Matthew Stafford. But it's going to be a tough row to hoe against this 49er D. You look at them over the last 4 weeks, and I think they're first or second in run defense at 3-2 a carry. They have snuffed out the run game because they are kicking ass at the line of scrimmage up front. And that, again, and we'll always get back to the equalizer, which is a tremendous pass rush and a wave of pass rushers. Jordan Willis comes in, he gets pressure and a sack. Kentavious Street comes in, he's able to get pressure. Arden Key comes in, he's ready to wreck your game plan. And that's not even talking about Bosa, who's getting doubled just about every play. Eric Armstead, who will put a tidal wave rush on anybody with as much power and size and length that he's got coming right up the gut. So they got a lot. There's a lot
Samson
to it.
Samson
Ebukam,
well,
who's going to be out of his mind, I would think, against,
going back
against
to
these Rams. And he is a great man of God. He is a great human being, talking to him and spending some time with him. And I thanked him, Pop, for coming on with us after the Tennessee game. I know that's hard to do, but, man, he plays hard. And his game, I don't know, he's got 4.5, 5 sacks, but he's a factor in the run game. He's squeezing tackles. That's where the run has gotten better. They've shrunk from that wide 9 technique. They get down in a 6 technique at times against those 2 tight end sets, and they're squeezing the run game, which have really allowed the tackles to play their game. And hold off that crunch play. You know, nobody's really running the crunch at them anymore. They were going to see 5-7 crunches a game. Now that the D tackles have started to put drop the anchor in the water and say, oh, you're not moving me, and the ends have squeezed it, that the run game has changed a little bit. And we'll see if Dre Greenlaw can get back in the mix. He'll be part of that run defense. And Marcel Harris, I thought, played one of his best games last week. Was good to see him get the interception, which
ten
was
tackles.
A great play. And I was talking to him at practice yesterday. That guy, I told him, I said, we got your weight gain out on the radio, man. I said, at 220 pounds, you put on about 5. He's like, all right. He was all fired up. I said, what you love about, and he's had to learn to play linebacker. He was a safety at Florida. Came in with a repaired Achilles, and the word was he would never get back to the foot speed that he had at Florida. Played a lot of safety here for the first couple of years. They moved him down to linebacker because of the challenges, and he's getting better every week. 10 tackles, and he's lowered his strike zone. Something I want to see Fred Warner do a little more often and put his head on the football instead of trying to put his helmet up high and rip at the football with these glancing blows. Marcel's got it figured out. Aziz has started to get it figured out. They hit guys at the thigh pads or the belly. They're not – let the second guy come in and force the fumble. Forget – yards after contact, run after contact, hit them low, chop them down. And nobody's got it more figured out in the open field right now than Jaquaski Tartt, playing some of his better football for the 49ers. So the defense, I think when you look at the challenges they've had out there, and again this week with the COVID protocols, and again, fingers crossed that I think all of them get back with the exception of Demo Lenore, who just tested, I think, yesterday, Wednesday. So I think he's incapable under the time frame of getting back. All year, when you mentioned at the start of the show, the injuries out at the corner with Verrett, and then, E-Man in and out and has had some challenges. K-1 was in and out, had some challenges. When you look at this defense and you start lining up the quarterbacks they've played, and there's some pretty good ones in this division, and have had challenges, obviously, against Arizona and Seattle, and hard to think Colt McCoy did what he did against them. That was kind of the low light of the defense. But, man, have they responded since then. It starts with run defense, and then D'Amico's able to do some things now to hold off some of these big plays in the middle of the field. Now, the hot spot is still out on the edges on the corner, and Ambry played much better, I thought, in the game against Houston and came up with some big plays. But it's remarkable. This is a top-5 defense. When you think of everything that's happened this year with the linebackers and the defensive backs, the one consistent has been those war daddies up front, the defensive line. And that's where this game will come around to in the end, is which defensive line can go get some drive stoppers and win the game late.
And, you mentioned when they had Goff and Gurley was the MVP of the league, the offensive player of the year. They had that dominant left side of the offensive line, and they ran that stretch to the left over and over again. Whitworth's still there at left tackle. where they had Roger Saffold, they had John Sullivan. They kind of rebuilt their line with young guys inside. And they're good. But the 49ers have been to find a way to take it to them. I love the matchup of Bosa against Whitworth because Whitworth is such a cagey veteran. Once he gets his hands on you, even a guy like Bosa, he can lock him up and Havenstein on the other side. But I want to ask you about Bosa because for a couple of weeks ago, I thought, you know, he's got to be a top candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Leads the league, is high in sacks, leads the league in total tackles for loss. And then T.J. Watt goes off on Monday Night Football. So that's not going to happen.
Right.
He does not have a sack the last two games, Nick. But he did get the hold on Questenberry.
Impact.
He saved the 55-yard post shot to Brandon Cooks with the hold against Houston on last Sunday. And he did, there was one snap where he did something a little odd where they kind of opened up the middle for him. And he backed up and almost played at a linebacker depth, came out of a two-point stance. It was a third down play. They checked it down. Not a lot of people noticed it, but it was intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Exactly what was he doing on that? Is that a way to get him from being chipped, being doubled on the edges, to move him inside more and back him up and give him a running start?
Yeah, it's all of those things. And you want to confuse their protection, and then you line Fred Warner up right next to him or mug Fred in front of him, and who's coming, who's not. Well, you figure Bosa's coming somewhere. And so now it's going to mess with the details of their protection. When Chris Kocurek was in Detroit, they ran it a lot, and I mentioned this in the game with Ndamukong Suh because he's such a bulldozer. He was just so big. And they did it, I think, early with Albert Haynesworth, maybe even, is in Tennessee, is you let that big dude get his momentum going, and then, you know, and Bose is not that kind of player, in Ndamukong Suh, Albert Haynesworth, but that truck gets rolling. They figured they're not going to be able to stop that truck. No matter who they are, they're going to get run over. I think with Bosa, it's for all of those things, and Bosa with his explosion and power, certainly capable of bowling somebody to their back. But if you think just for a second as an offensive line and you get somewhat distracted with a new look now, and then here comes Bosa on the big running start, he doesn't have to truck you. He could be working a twist game with somebody else. It could be working a twist game with Arden Key, or could be working the twist game, the stunt with Eric Armstead. So I think it's just ways to confuse the protection, get the double teams off of him, and then get one-on-ones for everybody else. And the beauty of only, you know, no sacks in the last two games is other guys are getting the one-on-one opportunities. And he's getting doubled almost every play, whether they're turning the protection, fanning it out to him, or they're chipping with a tight end or chipping with a running back. So now you got one less guy out in the route, which is great. And then you got your other three defensive linemen getting, or a blitzer getting one-on-one blocks. And that's how you attack protections with an elite player. I thought he was going to be comeback player of the year for sure. I knew MVP would be a challenge, but now you look at what Joe Burrow has done over the last couple of weeks and 1,000 yards throwing or whatever, and what they did against Kansas City. I think that one's probably locked for Burrow to win that comeback player of the year.
All right, get more to the Rams. Get some final thoughts from Tim Ryan up until the top of the hour. We'll flip it over to some Warriors as well. Steph's shooting woes continue, so we'll do that at noon. But some final thoughts and a final look at the Rams and the 49ers. What is essentially that playoff game? We'll do it next on the Esports Leader.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Stafford has gotten off to slow starts throughout many of the Ram games. He's off tonight. Third down at 11. Henderson Jr. to his left in the gun. They have three right, one left. Stafford throws a quick one out, and it is dropped. It is intercepted by Jimmy Ward. Going back the other way. Touchdown! San Francisco!
I got to tell you, that feels great, baby. Holy smokes.
That's my favorite call of yours.
Oh, yeah. I hate listening to myself.
I gotta tell you.
That sucks.
How big was that play? You know, we talk about the 3rd and 19 in Chicago, the Debo dash. There were some big plays. You've been here since the stadium opened. You ever hear Levi's louder, including Raheem Mostert and the touchdowns of the NFC title game? That place went insane when he had that pick six.
Yeah, it did. The defense, couple sacks on Aaron Rodgers in some big games. Levi's will light up. We know that. I think when you look at the situation and how hard it had been to had not won a home game in a year, right? It'd been a long time. And to be able to do that early in the game and already had one interception, and Stafford threw that jump ball up out of position to Odell Beckham to start the game. Jimmy came down with it. That was the pick six was just an unbelievable anticipation play by him, understanding what was coming, bumping the coverage with KK out there on Higbee and Cooper Kupp, and understanding that a quick screen was coming. And he saw Kupp try to block right away, then saw the ball go to Higbee. This was all done in the film room all week, and visualizing yourself making those kind of plays, which really I think pro football is all about in terms of getting that muscle memory going in your brain. You're visualizing all this stuff, going over the game plan. Then when it pops up, boom, you're on it. And he was, and that was such a huge play. To be able to go up 14-0 in that spot, in that moment of the season when things looked diabolical was one of the bigger plays of the year for sure.
You know, since you guys brought up how loud the stadium is, and you guys have done a game obviously down there for the Chargers, and then it's going to be used.
It was a preseason game though, when it was Chargers.
But what I'm saying is that what do you expect the
I don't
amount
know.
Of red to
we
be
haven't
in
been
that
there.
Stadium?
Although
a lot,
there are a lot that game. That's
lot
why
of friends
that
going
game
down
you can't
that.
Even count because the preseason yeah, game
sure.
and the 49er fans, they took over the joint practices in Costa Mesa with the Chargers, so I don't know.
If the Rams
season ticket, and it means everything to them, and I don't know what their season tickets look like, but I know there's tickets available, and I know that there will be a lot of red down there.
Yeah, I would think.
It's, you know, look,
this game's not sold out, you're saying?
No, the stadium, I don't think, in terms of every game. I'm not sure if they're a sellout every single game. I'm not sure. But either way, there will be a lot of red. Nobody travels. I mean, the Steelers, the Cowboys, but the 49ers travel as well as anybody. And that's what happens when you're a crown jewel, baby. You got 5 Lombardis.
Yeah, there'll be fans there. Just one thing.
Yeah. Next point.
No, I don't mean
point well taken. Go ahead.
I have a better point.
That's a cool stadium.
No, but the point you made at the end, right when the gun went to end the game against Houston, and you said, and you, not just 49ers, but other teams as well. And I remember Tennessee started 1-4 one year, and they wound up going to the championship game in the AFC. But to start the 2 wins on, you know, to start the year, 2-0 on the road, and then you had a stretch of 6 weeks, you lost 5 out of 6. Come back the next 6 weeks, you win 5 out of 6. And you lost to Seattle, you lost to Tennessee, and you still found a way to win the home games. This has been a hell of a year. And the level of expectation around here goes back to the Harbaugh years. I mean, now it's all here. You got 60 minutes of football. Forget what happens with New Orleans. You win this game, you're in. I mean, it's been an amazing year of up and down and all around.
Yep.
But here it is for you.
Yeah.
Just win this game on Sunday.
Right. High drama, and you control your own destiny. And you know, it all started back in OTAs and with this team, and they're tight. We understand that. And there's been a lot of adversity, no question. I think one thing that's, knock on wood, been a bonus, and hopefully it won't bite them this week and then get out of the protocols. I think a lot of credit to all the medical folks around here with the COVID and the pandemic and all the testing that's available for all of us and everything that they've done even more recently with this Omicron to keep people going virtual, keeping people separated. So we've been fortunate, and they followed the rules, and I think it's not easy. And I think they're getting a little payoff from it. So to have it come down to this in the division, and Kyle is 6-3 versus McVay, and 5-15 against the rest of the division, which is, I find that hard to believe. But the numbers are the numbers. They match up well against these
Seattle
guys.
Mainly at Seattle he can't beat.
Right.
Arizona they've been able to beat.
Right.
Wow.
They match up well against the Rams. It's a style fight for sure. They've got to outlast them physically into the fourth quarter, whether it's Jimmy or Trey. And again, I think fingers crossed that Jimmy can go. And we'll know way more today. And I have no idea after what happened yesterday. And he threw and it looked okay. And we'll see what the pain threshold and the tolerance is in there for it today. But even if it's Trey Lance, I feel good. It's going to be tough. It's going to be on the road. But if you win the line of scrimmage, you can beat the LA Rams. And I think if you had to draw it up and say, all right, how do the 49ers get to the playoffs with a one-game tournament? Follow their formula. So if they don't turn the ball over, and I don't care who's at quarterback, they don't turn the ball over, they run it well enough and convert enough third downs to stay with it, they will out-physical the LA Rams in the end. And in the end, it won't always be – one thing about Stafford, he's got 38 touchdowns. He's got 15 interceptions. We've talked about the pick sixes. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. They're one of the top five protection teams in pro football for a variety of reasons. Number one, he sees it and he can get it out. He can read the coverage, deliver the mail most of the time unless he's throwing it to the wrong guy. That's one. Number two is he doesn't want to take a lot of hits. So the ball is coming out. And that's part of why people get takeaways. And that's partly why the defensive line can overtake a game in the fourth quarter. It's not always in sacks. It's impact rushes. Impact rushes. Can you get him off his spot, especially up the gut? And they've got the ability to do that now as Arden Key has unlocked that whole thing with all those beasts in there rushing the passer. So that's what the game's going to come down to in the fourth quarter.
Does it matter at all that the DBs are on Zoom? Kyle was asked that yesterday, and you know it's late in the season, so they mainly know. But you are going to put some different things in, especially against a passing offense like this. Does that concern you at all?
I think it concerns me. Practice is... it's about communication. It's about seeing the game plan, running the game plan, not just, you know, in theory, looking at it on paper. It's a practical. You got to go put your hands on it and go do it. I don't worry about it nearly as much with Jimmy Ward, who's the glue that holds it all together back there. I don't worry about Dante. He's very, very, very sharp in understanding everything going on back there on the umbrella and safety and corner. Ambry Thomas, worried a little bit about that. Just because he's a young guy and hasn't played a lot and he's not going to be at practice. Kwan, I think, should be fine. I'm just hoping all those guys are asymptomatic and they're back in uniform Sunday.
You know, I haven't thought about this. I did after he got pulled off the field on Sunday after the DPI and they brought Dante in. But now the COVID outbreak, let's just get enough guys to man match these guys and zone them. If it goes the way we're hoping it goes and only Demo, because he just tested positive, cannot come back in time, the other guys do, and Emmanuel Mosley plays. Emmanuel Mosley plays left corner, offensive right. That's where Ambry's been. Do you flip Ambry to the other side? Where's Dante? Where's Josh Norman? How do they align? I know it's hard to visualize.
Yeah.
You can't see him in practice.
Yeah.
I mean, Ambry takes no reps. You want him to flip sides?
Does
Emmanuel go over there?
No.
What do you do there?
I would say that it's if you force me to pick today, and even if Ambry comes back, and even if Dante comes back, I would think it's going to be Eman and Josh Norman, because there's been a practice. And we'll see today how they respond at practice. I talked to Josh for a while yesterday at practice. And that was a bad call on him.
It's a reputation call.
It's a reputation call. We said it happened.
Yeah.
And I know getting pulled out embarrassed him and it hurt him. It did. But as I say to all these guys, and he's been in the league long enough, I go, dude, you can't even worry about it because you're going to be right back out there, because that's the way this league works. And then that was before, and then sure enough, here comes and he's right back out there again. So his skin's thick enough that he can handle it. If he's called to, and he was actually playing pretty damn good in that game against those wide receivers until that DPI call.
Yeah. All right, man. Should be fun.
Let's do it, bro.
Yeah, bro. Johnny
Lund.
You know what,
game, man.
Tim? We will see you next Thursday, 11 a.m. in the studio.
Booyah. I like that.
Playoff spot, man. We're talking playoffs.
I love it.
That's it.
Playoffs.
That'd be awesome. Playoffs.
Just put the lid on the cup, baby. Let's go.
Put the lid on the cup.
Put the lid on the cup.
That's already stolen. I saw him scribbling it down.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to SoFi Stadium in LA. The 49ers secondary has been cleared off COVID. Tim, I think the key today is to put the lid on the cup. The double lid the cup.
And you better stop Aaron Donald's, and then you better stop his splitter.
Splitter.
Oh, and I got all the lines.
You got them all.
Man.
Ready to detonate.
If I don't come up with them, I steal them.
Detonate.
I steal them.
I love this guy.
We share everything. We're like a married couple.
That's right. That's right.
We share everything.
Man. All right.
Have a good one, you guys.
I'll
appreciate
see you at
it.
Practice, okay.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks. Or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.